You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Magnificent job. We thank God for him this morning. To all of the ministers who are present, Reverend Register, Reverend Shoemate, Reverend Bennett. I don't see Pastor Emeritus Twyman, but we give honor to him as well. To all of our officers, to all of the deacons, to each and every member, to all of those who are live streaming, we greet you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Christ, Jesus Christ. And as always, we know that it is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord just one more time. The Lord has given us an opportunity that we might come together, that we might worship him. Don't want to keep you long this morning. We don't have a lot of time left, but we want to share with you just briefly what the Lord has placed on our heart. We thank God for this choir this morning. And all of these musicians, they have soften our hearts that we might be open and receptive to the word of God this morning. I want to call your attention to the gospel as recorded by Luke chapter 19. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. A reading there from the King James Version, you will find these words. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day salvation is come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. For a few moments, we solicit your prayers as we use for a subject this morning. What a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes. Every day that the Lord gives us is precious, is valuable, is priceless when you really think about it. And it should never be taken for granted. When a day begins, we never know how it's going to end. And in the times in which we're living, we can't take life for granted. People are leaving here every day. And so we cannot take life for granted. Yesterday we lost power. And my wife remarked this morning when the power had come back on that it's amazing how we take for granted certain things that we have become accustomed to. It's different when you don't have them. And yesterday, initially, we had power. Then we lost power. And then we woke up this morning and we had power again. We were back in business. And she didn't know I was going to preach what a difference a day makes, but the Lord was already preaching this morning when I got up out of bed this morning. What a difference a day makes. I want to go ahead and get right into our text because we don't have a lot of time. I want to try and share a few things with you this morning. But the text says that and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Jericho held a very distinct place in the history of Israel. I know if you think about it, you reflect back on the story of Jericho. But Jericho was an ancient city. In fact, it had been in existence some 1,000 years before Joshua ever set foot in it. It was a fortified city. It was believed to be invincible. The walls of Jericho stood 25 feet high. And in some places, it was at least 25 feet thick. They thought themselves to be invincible, but the Lord would have a different say in the matter. You remember that God had promised Abraham that he would give them a land. And God was about to keep his promise. There was some delay in that promise. Israel had been in captivity for 400 years. Then they cried out, and the Lord sent them a deliverer by the name of Moses. They cried, and the Lord heard their cry one day. And I'm trying to tell you what a difference a day makes. That one day, the Lord heard their cry, and he delivered them from Egyptian bondage. What a difference a day makes. They went through 40 years of wandering, but now the Lord was about to keep his promise. The first city that they would occupy in the land of Canaan was Jericho. The very first city that they would occupy was Jericho. It was fortified. It had those great walls, and they believed themselves to be invincible, but the Lord had the last word. And he gave Joshua and the Israelite army some unusual instructions. Didn't tell them to pick up their weapons of war, but he told them to march around the city 7 days, 1 week. Not 3 days, not 4 days, not 5 days, not 6 days, but 7 days. Joshua and the army was obedient, and they marched the first day, and nothing happened. They marched around the walls the second day, and nothing happened. They marched around the walls the third day, and nothing happened. They marched around the city the fourth day and nothing happened. They marched around the fifth day and nothing happened. They marched around the sixth day and nothing happened. But the Lord said, march 7 days. And they marched on that seventh day and they marched around seven times. And the walls came tumbling down. What a difference a day makes. When you do it God's way, what a difference. What a difference a day makes. And so our text says, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. I want to make my first point here because when you have an opportunity to see Jesus, don't let it pass by. The text says that he was just passing through. The opportunity to see Jesus, the opportunity to become familiar with him, the opportunity to surrender your life to him was very brief. It was brief then, and it's brief now. When the Lord allows you to be in the house of worship just one more time, you ought to not take that opportunity for granted. It's a day that the Lord has given you, and we ought not to take anything, any day, any opportunity that the Lord gives us for granted. Jesus was passing through Jericho. And it was not by chance. The Lord had worked a great work when he brought down the walls of Jericho. And he was about to do another great work. He was passing through Jericho because he was on his way to Jerusalem that he might die for the sins of the world. But he was passing through Jericho. But he was on a mission. Luke says in the 9th chapter in the 51st verse that he had set his mind towards Jerusalem. He had a goal in mind. He had come into the world to die for your sins and for my sins, and nothing was going to turn him around. He went through Jericho, but he was on a mission. And the Bible says that while he was on that mission, he encountered a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Zacchaeus started that day seemingly doing pretty good for himself. If you just looked on the outside, if you just paid attention to the outward appearance, Zacchaeus was doing pretty good for himself. You see, Zacchaeus means to be pure, innocent, righteous. And so Zacchaeus had a good name. His parents had given him that name because they had high hopes for him. But you know how it is. Our parents have all kind of hopes and dreams for us, but sometimes we fall short. Zacchaeus started out with a good name, but he had a bad reputation. He had a reputation for being dishonest. He had a reputation for being a cheat because he was a tax collector. He had position when he got up that morning. He had power and authority because He was the chief publican, the chief tax collector. He had all kind of folk working for him. And so he had position, and he had power, and he had possessions. He was rich. But he also had problems. As the chief tax collector, almost everybody in Israel, all the Israelites, hated him. He was a revenuer. They didn't like to see the tax man, and the fact that he was collecting taxes for the Roman government made it even worse. They couldn't stand him. They labeled him a traitor. He was no good, good for nothing. But that wasn't his only problem. He was considered, because of that, he was an outcast. Nobody really wanted to have anything to do with him. Even though he had position and power and possessions, didn't really mean anything. Because the religious crowd labeled him just a sinner. Beyond redemption. He wasn't just a sinner, he was the chief sinner. They had given up all hope for him. If they could have put him in hell themselves, they would have did it. So Zacchaeus had all those kind of things going for him, but his position couldn't give him peace. His possessions, his money, couldn't buy him eternity. And his power could not change his circumstances. And I want to tell you today that, yes, Zacchaeus was a sinner, but he wasn't a sinner because the religious authorities in Israel said that he was a sinner. But he was a sinner because, just like all of us, he was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, bent toward evil, and he was on his way to hell that morning. That day, when he got up that morning, Zacchaeus was on his way to hell. Yeah, what a difference. A day, man. You see, a day ain't over until God says it's over. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how bad you're living. What a difference a day makes when God has the final word. What a difference. Let me share these other verses. Verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Second point I wanted to make this morning to you is that if you want to have a different outcome in your life, you need to make every effort to see Jesus. You need to make every effort to see Jesus. Zacchaeus sought him. And the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must first of all believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But then the Bible also says that there are none that seek or understand, and none that really seek God. But it also says that no man cometh unto the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. So Zacchaeus didn't realize it, but the Holy Spirit was already on the job that day when he got up that morning. Zacchaeus was making an effort to see Jesus, but the Holy Spirit was already at work in his life that morning when he got up. Amen. To draw him to the Father. What a difference a day makes. Zacchaeus was willing to overcome every obstacle in his way that day that he might see Jesus. And so the Bible says that, first of all, he ran. He was a little short man, but he ran to see Jesus. He wanted to see him. He was in a hurry. There was a sense of urgency in his life. He knew that he needed to see Jesus. And not only did he run, then he started climbing. He was making an earnest effort to see Jesus. He needed to see him. The crowd was in the way. Other people surrounded him and he couldn't see Jesus, but he wasn't going to let other folk get in his way and his opportunity to see Jesus, who he was for himself. He couldn't see him because of the crowd. And so the Bible says that he climbed up a sycamore tree. You know, and if people are keeping you from seeing Jesus, you need a better view. You need to elevate your thinking. You need to elevate your mind and the way that you live it. Come to Bible study sometimes. There's no crowd there. You can see Jesus. Come to Sunday school sometimes. There's no crowd in Sunday school. You can see Jesus. But you need to make every effort while you have an opportunity. While you can still call today day, you need to make an effort to see Jesus. If you can't say anything else about Zacchaeus, he was trying to see Jesus for himself. I wonder if that can be said of all of us. I remember a time in my life when I wasn't thinking about Jesus. No effort, no problem. Didn't want to hear anything about Jesus. But then one day, I took a good look at myself like Zacchaeus did. And I realized for myself that I needed to see Jesus. And I started looking for him. I started seeking him. And one day, April 7th, 1981, the Lord came to see me. What a difference a day made. You see, April 6th, 1981, I was on my way to hell. I was on my way. I was almost there. But April 7th, 1981, the Lord came into my life, and what a difference. What a difference a day makes. I don't know if anybody else has a testimony like that, but what a difference Jesus has made in my life. Let me just kind of sum this up because our time is getting long this morning. But the rest of this text says that when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. today. What a difference a day makes. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. What a difference a day makes. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he is gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. You know how it is when you turn your life over to Christ. All those folk that you used to hang out with, all those folk that you used to party with, they get to talking about you and saying, there's something different about him. I don't know what's going on with him, but I don't really want to be around him anymore. You know, he kind of boring now. He don't want to party. He don't want to drink and do all the stuff that we used to do. Because they began to see a difference in your life. What a difference. What a difference today makes. Zacchaeus had been seeking Jesus, but all along the Lord had been seeking him. When the Lord got to the place where Zacchaeus was, he came down and he called out to Zacchaeus and invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. Ain't that something? One day he didn't know Jesus. Now all of a sudden Jesus is a guest at his house. What a difference a day makes when the Lord comes into your life. Unless you think I'm thinking of or preaching this in isolation, the Lord has done a lot of things for a lot of people when you read the scripture. Luke told us earlier about the story of the prodigal son. You know him. He had insisted on an early inheritance, went out and spent it all on riotous living. Ended up in a pig pen, eating slop. But one day, he thought to himself that, you know, there's some folk in my father's house that, some servants in my father's house that have it better than the way I'm living. One day, he began to reflect on his life. And he began to head home. He wanted to make it back to his father's house. Just one day he thought about what he was living, the way he was living. What a day. What a difference a day makes. And then you remember the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 long years. Spent all the money that she had trying to find a doctor that could cure her. But she couldn't find one. And one day she heard that Jesus was passing by. Just one day. One day she heard that Jesus was passing by, and she said to herself that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, my life will be made whole. What a difference a day makes. I'm going to hurry to my seat in a minute. I know I've been up here too long, but what a difference a day make when Jesus comes into your life. Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' home. He wanted to have a meal with him. The implication is that he wanted to fellowship with him. He wanted to abide with him, to walk with him and talk with him and do him some good, because Zacchaeus had put his trust in him, and Zacchaeus didn't hesitate. The Bible says that he hurried up and came down. When you get the opportunity, when you have the opportunity to fellowship with the Lord, you need to make haste. If I had known that walking with the Lord was this good, I'd have surrendered my life a long time ago. Wouldn't have put it off for another day. Because I've learned since what a difference a day makes. Jesus had some old business to attend to, but he was passing through Jericho because, as I told you earlier, he was on his way to Jerusalem. On that way, they would want to anoint him as king. They shouted, "Hosanna in the highest." They praised him for all that he was and all that he had done. But the next day, the next few days, that same crowd that shouted, "Hosanna in the highest," was shouting, "Crucify him." What a difference a day makes. But it didn't stop Jesus. He was the Lamb of God. He had come into the world to die. He had come into the world to give his life as a ransom for your life and my life. He had come that we had that we might receive forgiveness. He had come that we might have eternal life. What a difference a day makes. And so he kept on marching. In the 18th chapter of Luke, it says that they called him all kind of names. They beat him. They spit upon him. And the Bible really suggests that they kept on spitting on him. They scourged him, they whipped him, and they kept on whipping him. He was betrayed of men. They led him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. They beat him until he was almost unrecognizable. They took him out to Golgotha's hill and they nailed him to an old rugged cross. They put nails in his hands. They put nails in his feet. They hung him high and stretched him wide. He hung there between two thieves. The one thief said, "If you be the Messiah, why don't you come down and save yourself?" But the other thief said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And the Lord said, "This day shall thou be with me in paradise." It's never too late. What a difference a day makes. The Lord stopped dying long enough to save that thief on the cross. And he'll save you too if you just invite him. Receive him joyfully into your heart. He hung on that cross from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. He died that Friday. They pierced him in the side, took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb. Bible says that he stayed dead all day Friday. All night Friday night, all day Saturday, and all night Saturday night. But the next day, the third day, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. What a difference a day makes. My brothers and my sisters, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, today is your day. Harden not your heart as they did in the provocation when they rejected God. but make haste. Surrender your life to the Lord. What a difference a day makes. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Let's thank the Lord for that. You may stand to your feet. The door to the church is open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.